Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Every day, there's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone, when my heart had no
Talk Radio's Unveiling the Mysteries of the Bible. This program is brought to you live by the JC Overcomers Ministries out of Nebraska City, Nebraska, and I'm your hostess, Cheryl Fisher. During these programs, I want to share with you some of the treasures I've found during my treasure hunt into the Word of God and some of the miracles I've seen along the way. Tonight, I'm continuing a study on the outward adorning. But before we get into that, I do want to open this up with prayer. And tonight I'm going to be lifting up Psalm chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, Psalm 79, verse 9, and Psalms 25, verses 7 and 11. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Lord, I thank you so much for giving me another opportunity to come on Blog Talk Radio and dig into the scriptures. I lift this time up before you, Lord, and I ask you to guide and direct the things that I talk about, the scriptures that I go to. I need you to guide me exactly where you want me to go in the scriptures. Lead me, Lord. Take me by the hand and lead me through the scriptures. I ask you, Lord, to help me to say the things that will bring edification to the body of Jesus Christ and that will also bring glory to your name in some way. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to send out your spirit and draw in anyone that you want to be here tonight hearing this. And I ask you also to send your spirit out and draw in anyone that you want to hear this later on in the archives. Break up the fallow ground of our hearts and our minds, Lord, that your word can be planted within and that it may spring up in everlasting life in each one of us, I pray. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, have your way here tonight, Lord. May your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Oh, Lord, also remove any hindrance that could keep somebody from coming to the program tonight. I ask you to remove any hindering spirits, anything at all that could hinder someone to coming that you may want coming to hear this, Lord. And anyone that may come to cause disruption or problems, Lord, any what we call trolls, Lord, I ask you to keep them from coming as is within your will. If it's your will that they come, Lord, I ask you to help me to be able to handle the situation the way you would want me to handle it. In Jesus' name I pray, and I thank you for it. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right, this study has been on the outward adorning. And the first scripture that I'm going to go to tonight, I've talked about a little bit before, but we're going to start in verse 1 of Ezekiel chapter 16 and take a look at that picture there. This is in Ezekiel chapter 16. And I'm going to start in verse 1. And I want to welcome Barb on the phone line. Praise God. It's good to have you here, sister. This is Ezekiel chapter 14. No, chapter 16. I'm sorry. And verse 1. Praise God. I've got this new desk set up. And someone gave me a desk. Praise the Lord. Talk about a blessing. I've got this new thing set up here, and this is the first program I've actually tried to do since I got this set up. And it's set up different than my other one, so the keyboard and stuff is in a different area. And so I'm hoping that this is going to work smooth for me. It's quite a bit different than what I'm used to, so praise God. It's an absolutely awesome desk in comparison to what I had. I'm very, very well pleased. Everything got set up just awesomely. So everything fit just the way I wanted it to. Praise God. So here we go. This is Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 1. And this was a blessing from the Lord, and I thank the Lord for it and the people that made it happen. There were several. Praise God. All right. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 1 says, "Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations." All right. When I look at scriptures like this, first off, there are so many pictures of Jerusalem within the scriptures. You have the physical city of Jerusalem within the Bible. You have the spiritual city of Jerusalem within the Bible, which is above. You have the group that makes up each one of those cities as well. The people that were in physical Jerusalem, God can talk about them as a group being Jerusalem, you know, the Israelites. And the spiritual Jerusalem above, now those that are part of the body of Jesus Christ end up as part of that city above. And we're built up together into that city. And let me pull up a scripture that shows that. Hey, Joseph, it's good to have you in the chat room. Okay, let me find this. Take me a moment. I want to show that there's that spiritual city that we each are built up together as part of it. Okay, this is in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. That's 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Like I said, I'm getting used to this, so it might take me a little bit longer to do this. Okay, 1 Peter 2 verse 1 says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Now notice here in this scripture, it's talking about being a newborn babe, but it's also talking about growing. Just exactly as a physical child grows, well, that spiritual child is supposed to grow as well. And you start out with the milk, just like a physical child would start out with the milk. And it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Notice the word desire here. We are supposed to have a desire for the word of God. It says, if so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Okay, if we're tasting of the word, the milk of the word, we are also, according to this scripture, tasting the Lord. Because it says, if so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Because Jesus is the word made flesh that dwells among us. So if we're tasting the word, we are tasting the Lord. We are eating his flesh when we're eating the word of God. It's described as his flesh. It's described as the milk. It's described as the living waters. It's described as the bread and a whole bunch of other things, the meat, many things. If we're tasting the spiritual food of God, it is his word. That is where we get our sustenance. And it says in verse 3, if so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Notice the gracious part of this. Well, that's where grace, the word grace is within here. The Lord is gracious. This is where we get the grace of God. And this is also why we are able to grow in the grace of God. Because the grace of God is the word. That is how we get God's grace, is through the word of God. It says, if so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. So Jesus himself is a living stone. So if we are recreated in his image, wouldn't that make each one of us also living stones? Because we end up as whatever Jesus is described as in the scriptures when we're recreated in his image through the gospel. As we consume the gospel, we grow into him, and so we become whatever he is. And he is a living stone according to the word of God. So that will make us a stone also. He is the cornerstone. He's the start of the building. He's the foundation. So whatever he is, that puts us there as well as we consume him. Okay, it says in verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Okay, if he's disallowed of men and we're recreated in his image, that will make us disallowed of men also. Remember, Jesus said that if they have hated me, let me see if I can find that scripture because I don't want to misquote it. Take me a moment. Possible 26 of them come up, so I've got to look in the New Testament. I just put in the words hated and me. Over and over talks about, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But I thought there was one that told if they hated him, they would hate us also. There it is. This is John 15. That's the one I was looking for. John 15 and verse 18. And it says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me. Let's see, hated me before it hated you. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Praise God. Okay, so let's go back to this in 1 Peter. And it says in verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Okay, also, if Jesus is God's chosen and we are recreated in his image and are part of him, that automatically makes us God's chosen as well. If we are part of him, he's God's chosen. So that makes us chosen automatically. And it says, but chosen of God and precious. And then it says, it shows this duplication process right in verse 5. It says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. Just like you've got the physical Jerusalem and you've got holy Jerusalem above, which the scriptures tell us, which is the mother of us all, because we're birthed through the spirit that comes from holy Jerusalem. And that's why it's called the mother of us all. And so each one of us are built up as that spiritual house, because that city is the tabernacle of God. It is also the city of God. It's all one and the same. Just like the tabernacle that Moses built, it was supposed to be built after the pattern of what he saw in the mount when God showed him the spiritual picture of heaven. Moses was to build the tabernacle after the things that he saw. He saw the city of God. And that tabernacle is a duplication for the entire city of God, which is also all the vessels and things within the tabernacle are all pictures also of us as parts of the tabernacle as well as parts of the city. When Jerusalem was built and the temple was built in Jerusalem and it had its gates and everything, we see in the physical there was the gates to the temple, and we see also when we're looking at the picture within the book of Revelation, the spiritual city also has its gates. Everything is a type and shadow, the spiritual with the physical. Okay, it says here in verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 2, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. Each one of us becomes a stone, just like Jesus. It says, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Okay, Jesus isn't the only one that offers up spiritual sacrifices. Because it says here, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. It's like I read on here before about Job. The sacrifices that Job's friends brought to him, Job offered them up, and that is what made them acceptable to God. When we are recreated in Jesus' image, we will do the same things that he did. If he's offering up sacrifices to God, we also will be offering up sacrifices to God. But the very first sacrifice we're supposed to offer up to God is ourselves. We are the sacrifice. Let me pull up a scripture that shows that. That's in Romans chapter 12. So we offer up ourselves first. And that sacrifice, if it is made holy, then it will be accepted by God. And his fire will consume the sacrifice. That is the fire of his spirit. Will come and consume us as a spiritual sacrifice to God. And once we're consumed with the fire of God, then we also can turn around and offer up other sacrifices to God as well. Just like Job, when the people that were giving him a hard time, and I think I was on those scriptures last time, his friends that gave him such a hard time, when God came down on them, they had to bring their sacrifices to Job. And then Job offered up those sacrifices to God because Job was accepted of God. So the ones that are accepted of God, first was Jesus. And then through him, we get accepted by God. And then we're able to offer up those sacrifices just like Job was able to. And Job is the one that prayed for those that were not accepted of God. See, and this is our job as well. When we get where we're supposed to be in God, we are supposed to pray for others, just like Jesus prayed for Peter, for example, that his faith fail not. Well, as we get closer and closer to God, we're supposed to step into that same position, just like what Jesus did, and do the same things as he did, and be praying for others that their faith fail not, praying for them that they'll be loosed from any captivity that they are in of the enemy. That is our job. Whatever Jesus did, we're supposed to do also when we're where we're supposed to be in him, that is. But we got to get ourselves the proper sacrifice first. We've got to be washed, just like the sacrifices were washed before they were put into the fire. They needed to be washed first, the animal sacrifices. Okay, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Here's our bodies. See, remember, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Well, that picture is our bodies being nailed to the cross, just as Jesus was nailed to the cross. spiritually speaking, we're giving up our lives as Jesus gave up his, sacrificing our bodies and the will of our bodies to God's will for us instead. And it says here, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. This is while we're still alive, offering up our bodies and the desires of our bodies as well. It says a living sacrifice, holy. That's got to be clean. That's without spot and blemish. That's washed by the word. It says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He looks at this as just reasonable. That's what he requires, is that we present ourselves to him holy, without blemish. Walking in the Spirit of God, keeping ourselves in the Spirit of God, keeping ourselves clean, being quick to repent. Whenever conviction comes upon us, we need to be quick to repent of anything that we're doing that's wrong. And that keeps us washed. And the Word of God is what exposes the things that we're doing that don't agree with it, praise God. Joseph has in the chat room, Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's what Jesus did. Just like when he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because of the lack of knowledge, people do stuff to us because they don't realize the spiritual implications of what they're doing. So just as Jesus understood that, we also are supposed to come to that knowledge of him in such a way where we can do the same thing, praying for our enemies just like he did. Praise God. Thank you very much, Joseph. That fits right in with what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we're supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice. It says here, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Notice the word conformed. Look at formed within there. It says, be not conformed to this world. See, we're supposed to be reformed into his image. But if we're conformed to this world, we're following it. That's the image that we're in instead of the image of Christ. And it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Notice the word formed is in both of the words. Notice that. It's awesome. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And look at what does the forming. It says, by the renewing of your mind. That's what does it. Because the Spirit of God comes in and renews our mind through the Word. That washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise God. Joseph has, it wasn't me. I thank you, Lord Jesus. See, there you go. It's letting the Lord lead. Amen. Thank you, Joseph. Given the glory where the glory's due, huh? Praise God. All right, and we're supposed to be open to the leading of the Holy Ghost at all times so that he can have his way. And if we all got to that point together, God would move through us. He would unify us. The scriptures talk about how we would flow together unto him. I think it says, in fact, let me see if I can find that scripture. Give me a moment. Because we're going to flow together just as the waters of life flow together. And the Spirit of God flows together. This is in Isaiah chapter 60, and I'm looking to see if there's any more. Oh, yeah, there is. Praise God. Some interesting ones here. All right, let me pull this one up first. This is Isaiah chapter 60. And about verse 5, but I think we're going to back it up. And I want to welcome, I don't remember if I welcomed that guest in the chat room or not, but I want to welcome that guest in there if I haven't already. Let's just start in verse 1 of Isaiah 60. It says, arise, shine, for thy light is come. Now, notice the word arise. Well, Christ is supposed to arise in us. Well, think about it. If we're growing, if he's growing in us, he is rising up in us. Because as you grow, you get taller and taller and taller. Okay, so that spiritual child that's growing in us is arising in us. And then it says in verse 1 of Isaiah 60, it says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Notice the arisen again. Praise God. I want to welcome Herbs and Spices in the chat room. It's good to have you here. I like that name. Something just comes to me on that. Praise God. Notice we've got 11 herbs and spices, and there was 11 apostles because Judas died. And they've got herbs and spices. And did you know that we are as herbs and spices through the Spirit of God? That's a teaching in itself. It's pretty cool. If you start looking up some of the spices and things, like the myrrh, and things like that they used to put on Jesus' body for the burial, there's a spiritual picture there that is absolutely awesome. And they had herbs and spices in the anointing oil. It's pretty cool. Okay, and that is an awesome study. All right, anyway, it says here in verse 1 of Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Well, that's Jesus. It says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light. That's the light of the Lord. It says, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Now, what did I say about the milk of the word? There's the nursing at the side of Jesus Christ. It says, that then shalt thou see and flow together. All of us will flow together just like living waters flow together. That's the gathering of the waters. Praise God. It says, then shalt thou see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. That's the flowing together into him. And when we're operating in the Spirit of God the way we're supposed to, it's like when the Lord laid on Joseph's heart to post that scripture in the chat room, he was flowing together with the direction of the Holy Ghost, letting the word flow together into that river of life that's going forth today, so that each part brings forth what it's supposed to bring forth. And that's what God wants all of us to do when we come together, is flow together in the Spirit of God and allow him to use each one of us. It's like when you hold a Bible study together and one person will get a vision, one person will get a word from the Lord. And when they meet together, the purpose of God starts being fulfilled. When we allow him to use each one of us and flow together in such a way, that brings forth the purpose of God. And each one of us has a part in that as we allow God to use us. That's why they were called vessels in the temple. And you would pour out of those vessels. Well, each one of us is supposed to allow the Spirit of God to pour through us for his purpose. Okay, it says here in verse 4 again, lift up thine eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together. Notice they do the gathering together. It's automatic through the Spirit of God. It's like when people come together in the chat room or something like that so that God can use them. We're gathering ourselves together, allowing him to use us. And it says, all they gather themselves together. That is the gathering. Praise God. It's allowing the Spirit of God to direct where we're going. It says, they come to thee, thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together. First it's talking about gathering together, and now it says flow together. And thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea, see, we are of the sea. Before we're of the river of life, we're of the sea instead. Two different waters. The sea is of the world, generally speaking within the scriptures. But the river of life is from the Lord. Okay? And notice it's the sea that's converted. Because we are of the sea before we're converted to the living waters. We're following the world's flow before we start flowing in the Spirit of God. That's that being transformed part again. It says, then shalt thou see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged. Notice the part about the heart being enlarged. Jesus poured out the blood and the water from his heart when he was pierced. When his side was pierced, that blood and that water flowed out from his side. His soul was poured out. There's a scripture that talks about that as well. When his seed is planted in our heart, what does that do? It enlarges our heart, thereby enlarging his heart as well. Because he grows within our heart. That's where the seed gets planted. And so each one of our hearts gets enlarged. And so his heart gets enlarged automatically. And that's why it says, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted. That's more and more of the heart of God growing in the earth as the sea is converted. It says, the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Okay, Joseph's got another scripture in here. In Mark 11, verse 25, he's got, and when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any. What did Jesus do on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's asking for forgiveness for those that were doing the torturing of him. And we're supposed to forgive because we receive what we give. We reap what we sow. If we're willing to forgive others for the things that they've done to us, God is also willing to forgive us for the things that we've done to him. The sins that we've committed against him will be forgiven. The amount we're willing to forgive others is the amount we are going to be forgiven. We're going to reap what we're sowing. If we're sowing forgiveness, we're going to reap forgiveness. If we're sowing mercy, we're going to reap mercy from God. How much mercy do we give to others? And look at the opposite of that. How much condemnation do we condemn others with? Think about it. We're going to receive accordingly. Okay, it says in Mark 11:25 that Joseph's God here again. It says, and when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, notice the word here, may forgive you your trespasses. So it's like it opens up the possibility for him to be able to forgive us. Because it says, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So can he forgive us if we're not forgiving others? Think about it. Let me read that again. It says, and when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. It's like it opens up that possibility for him to be able to forgive us. And Joseph's got in there about forgiving 7 times 70 for your brothers. And if God tells us that we're supposed to be willing to forgive that many times, don't you think that he also is going to be willing to forgive us that many times as well? He's not going to give us a rule to follow that he himself is not willing to follow. Think about it. Praise God. All right, so now hopefully you see that picture of the flowing together. All right, now let's go back to 1 Peter 2, verse 5. It says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. There again is that offering up of spiritual sacrifices. Well, we have to be consumed by the Spirit first to offer up the Spirit back to God. The fire has to consume us. And remember when the offerings were made, and the fire would come down and consume the sacrifice. The fire of God, the Holy Ghost, when we obey him, let me pull up the scripture that shows that picture. As we obey him, his Spirit comes down, that's the fire of God, comes down and consumes the sacrifice. Whatever that sacrifice was, when we're obeying him, and we're stopping something of our flesh to obey him, he comes down and consumes that part of us with his Spirit. That is going to be in the book of Acts, chapter. Okay, I don't want to do it on that one. Let me pull up another one. I think it's Acts chapter 5. and verse 32. Yep. I'll put that in the chat room. That's Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. And it says, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Whatever it is we're obeying him in, the Holy Ghost comes down and consumes that sacrifice. He receives that obedience from us. The fire of God comes down and consumes that sacrifice. Remember, we're supposed to be living sacrifices to him. Praise God. So every time we sacrifice something, the Holy Ghost will come down. That's sacrificing through obedience. That's obeying whatever he's telling us to do. That's a sacrifice. And then the Holy Ghost comes down and consumes the sacrifice. And eventually, he wants to consume every bit of us, where there's nothing of our flesh left. Eventually, every bit of it will be consumed. That's that growing up into him in all things, where there's none of us left. We've totally died to everything. Okay, let's see. Where was I? I got so many of these open. All right. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 again. It says, ye also as lively stones are built up. That's when we're flowing together. Each one of us are being built together. The connection is being made through the Spirit of God. It says, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. He's the one that makes this possible. It's his Spirit that makes all the connections between each one of us and brings us together, that gathering. Verse 6 says, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone. That's Jesus. He's the cornerstone. It says chief cornerstone, elect. Notice the word elect. This is something else that I've done a study on in the Scriptures, is on the elect. A lot of people think that it is only the Jews that are the elect of God. But if everything follows that same pattern, if Jesus is the chosen and we become part of him, that makes us the chosen. Well, if he's the elect, according to this scripture, it says, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect. He's the elect of God. So if we're part of him through his word, that makes us part of the elect of God. It's not just the Jews. It's whoever, and it's the election by grace. And the grace of God is Jesus Christ. It's by the word of God. That is his grace to us. So that is the election by grace. Praise God. We become elected parts of him through us believing the word of God, believing Jesus Christ. And if he's the elect, that makes us also part of the elect. It says, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Notice the difference here, those that believe and those that don't believe. Remember, the Jews that did not believe, those branches got cut off so that the faithful, the ones that did believe, could be grafted in again. Okay, Joseph's got another verse in here, Luke 10, verse 2. It says, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Okay, if he's telling us to pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Isn't that a commandment of God that we should be praying it? If he tells us to pray a certain thing, then we should be doing it because that's a commandment of God. So when we do pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest, we are obeying him. And so as we're praying that prayer, the Holy Ghost is going to come down and consume the sacrifice because that's obedience. And the Holy Ghost comes upon them that obey. So as we're praying that prayer, the Holy Ghost is going to meet us. Praise God. And if he commands us to do that, then that's something we need to do. And we do need laborers for the harvest. So, Lord, I lift this up right now. According to your word, your word says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I ask you, Lord, to send forth laborers into his harvest as your word says. Praise God. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, praise God. All right, let's see, where was I? Okay, verse 7 of 1 Peter 2 says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. That's that cornerstone. It says, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made head of the corner. And that's the ones where instead of it being the cornerstone, they changed it into a capstone. Within these same verses, the NIV changes that cornerstone into a capstone. That's out of Egypt. That's the sun god Ra. That capstone is a symbol of the sun god Ra. And here it says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, look, instead of it being the cornerstone, it says the same is made the head of the corner. Instead of it being what God said it would, that chief cornerstone, they turn it into the head of the corner. And it says, and a stone of stumbling. And a rock of offense. Because if we're worshiping the sun god Ra, it's going to cause us to stumble. That's that capstone. Just like on the back of a dollar bill, you've got the pyramid and the all-seeing eye. Well, that's the eye of Horus. There's different names that symbolizes. But that pyramid, that's out of Egypt. And it says, and a stone of stumbling, and that's what it does, if that's what we're worshiping. And remember, the love of money is the root of all evil. Think about it. And what does the money have on it? The capstone. The other stone, the rock of offense. It says, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Notice the priesthood here, because if Jesus is our high priest and we're recreated in his image, that makes us priests also, automatically. And it says, but ye are a chosen generation. Notice the chosen part of this again, because he's chosen of God. And we end up being a chosen generation because we're part of him. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise God. All right. So basically, I wanted to show you that building up of us in him as part of that city of God or the tabernacle of God, however you want to look at it. It all fits into the same picture. Joseph said, I was just about to type that love of money. There you go. See, that's the flowing together of his spirit. Praise God. All right, let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 2. It says, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. So in order for Jerusalem to know, it's got to be people. This picture of Jerusalem here has to be people to know her abominations. All right, you've got the bride of Christ that comes together and is built up into that city of God. And that bride will descend from God out of heaven and come to the earth. And so here, when it's talking about causing Jerusalem to know her abominations, that's knowing our sin. And the only way we're going to know our sins against God, our abominations that he considers abominations, is to know the truth. Because ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's knowing the truth, that's what exposes our sins, our abominations, the things that don't agree with the word. It says, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Well, this is a type and shadow of Jesus Christ, because he's the one that causes us to know. Because he's the word. And as we get into the word, we know our abominations. Praise God. Verse 3 says, And say, Thus saith the Lord unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Notice here it's talking about a birth where the newborn babies of God are supposed to desire the sincere milk of the word, and that's what makes us grow. Well, this Jerusalem it's talking about here, it says thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Not the land of God, not holy Jerusalem, the mother of us all, but it's another city. Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan instead. That would be this picture of Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. You've got Jerusalem, which is above, the mother of us all. Let me pull that scripture up. And then you've got the mother of harlots. Take me a moment. This is Galatians chapter 4. And verse 26, it says, But Jerusalem, which is above, is free. Remember, you shall know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, here's Jerusalem, which is above, is free. Because that's the ones that know the truth. They become part of Jerusalem, which is above. Okay? And it says, But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Those that are made free become part of her. Okay, let's see. Where was I? Oh, mother of harlots. Thank you, Lord. So you've got the mother of those that are free, and then you've got those that are that one that's the mother of the harlot. And that's in Revelation chapter 17. And it'll be around verse 5, but I think we might start in verse 1. And they're both women, okay? Notice that they're both women because they're either part of the bride of Christ or part of the harlot instead. And what is a harlot? A harlot receives seed from another other than her husband, okay? and the seed is the word. So if we're receiving, if we're believing a lie instead of the truth, we've received seed from another other than God, because he is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So if we're believing a lie, we're part of the harlot. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1 says, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." Remember I told you that we're of the sea, but we get converted. Remember that the sea is converted unto the Lord? Well, here's the many waters that the whore sits upon is the sea. Sits upon all those that are still of the sea that have not been converted to the Lord. And it says here, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." All the lies she sits upon, those waters, because the word, the truth, is water. Remember, we flow together through the water of life. Well, there's another river, and it's the water of death instead. That's the waters that she's sitting upon. If any deception, that's where she's at, is along with that deception. And it says here, "that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication." Remember I told you, if we're receiving the seed of God, we're his bride. But if we're receiving the seed of another word that's not truth, we've committed fornication with another god. And here it says, "the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." See, the word of God is his wine that he pours out to us, that we're supposed to drink of. Remember Jesus talked about that out of our belly would be those living waters with the woman at the well. He talked about that he would give her water to drink. We're either drinking the cup of the Lord or we're drinking the cup of devils, the Bible talks about. And if we're drinking the cup of devils, we are committing fornication against God. If we're drinking that wine, that cup, the lies, instead of what God gives us, we're committing fornication with another god. And it says, "with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth." It's not just the kings of the earth, but the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Everybody that is conformed to the world instead of being transformed to the image of Christ has been made drunk of the wine of her fornication, believing that deception. The people that are atheists out there, they've been drinking of the world's cup. The people that claim that science knows more than God, those are people that have drank of that cup instead of drinking of the cup of the Lord. And it says, "the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." That's the devil and Satan that deceiveth the whole world, from Revelation chapter 12. Let me pull that up. He deceiveth the whole world. That's Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. And it says, "and there was war in heaven." See, there's war between the good and the evil everywhere. Not just here, but it also in heaven. And when that war concludes, that devil is going to be cast out. And all of those that are in rebellion against God, they will be cast out with him. And it says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. Notice he's got his angels too. That dragon is also the devil and Satan, and we'll see that here shortly. It says, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. God's cleaning that city. Remember the picture in the book of Revelation where Jesus talks about he would spew out of his mouth those that are neither hot nor cold. They're going to get spewed out of his mouth. If we can't serve two masters, we're not going to be able to ride the fence anymore. It's got to be one or the other. It says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. Okay, and it shows here who the great dragon is. It says, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. So whenever it's talking about the devil in the Bible, it's also talking about the dragon and the serpent and Satan. And it says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. See, it's talking about the serpent that was in the Garden of Eden as well. It says, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Notice the deception of the whole world. He deceiveth the whole world. All those that are still of the world are of that deception. Those are the ones that are committing fornication with the harlot, okay, with the devil and Satan. They're part of Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. It doesn't matter whether they claim to be Christians, whether they claim to be Buddhist, whether they claim to be Muslims. If they don't have truth, they're part of the harlot. And a lot of people think that it's just the Catholic Church. Well, that in itself is a deception because it shows the kings of the world. It's not just the Catholic Church. It's all. The whole world is part of the harlot, not just the Catholic Church or any particular religion that has a lie in it. Each one of us, as long as we're believing lies, whether we call ourselves Christians or not, if we're believing a lie, we're part of the harlot. Okay? And it says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And notice that the result of that is salvation. When the devil is cast out from us, all of his deceptions are cast out from us. And that's bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ in our minds, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every deception that he tries to put into our minds, we're supposed to bring them captive. And that's casting him out of our minds just like he gets cast out of heaven. Each one of us is a little piece of this picture. And as each one of us is cleansed out, that also shows that picture of what's happening in heaven as well. See, and it says in verse 10, this is after he's cast out, it says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. See, we're not saved until he's cast out from us, until we have overcome. That's when salvation comes. Because we're saved from the wrath of God. Well, the devil is the wrath of God. So if he's still abiding in us, the wrath of God is still there. Think about it. He has to be cast out. Then comes salvation. Then we are clean from him. As long as those unclean spirits that come with the deception are still making a place in our minds or in our hearts, we still belong to him in a way, to some degree, until he is cast out. Every one of those thoughts that come against the knowledge of God has to be brought into captivity and cast out. You bind him with the chain of the Word of God and cast him out, just like he ends up being bound with the chain and cast out of heaven and put in prison for 1,000 years. Well, we want him out of us and not allow those thoughts to be there any longer. Joseph has Philippians 1, verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound. Oh, good one, Joseph. Praise God. Oh, awesome. It says Philippians 1, 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound. That's the overcoming, that a love abounding in us. It says, may abound yet more and more, but look at how it happens, in knowledge, because the Word of God is God's love to us. The more we know of him, of his love, the less of the enemy is going to be dwelling in us. It says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That's the word. Praise God. And through the word, he grows and abounds more and more in us all the time as we're putting the word in, the truth. Absolutely awesome. And that's when salvation comes, because we're saved from the wrath of God through the knowledge of God. But if we don't have the knowledge of God, how can we be saved from his wrath? If we don't know what's true and what isn't, how can we be saved from God's wrath? Because God's wrath is all the deception. Praise God. All right, let's see. Where was I? Okay, the whore. In Revelation 17, verse 1 again, it says, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore. And remember, the word of God is the judgment. The judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. That's all the deception. That's where that whore is sitting. Upon any deception, wherever it's at. If that's a deception in our mind or in our heart, she's right there. Okay, it says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. First it says, the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. But notice in verse 3, it's talking about the exact same picture. The whore is the woman, and the scarlet colored beast is the many waters. Scarlet is sin in the scriptures. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. So the scarlet colored beast is sin. And when we're sinning, our beast nature is coming out. That is, the sin is the animal lust in us that causes us to sin. That's our beast. That's why we have to take up our cross and follow him. That's why the beast has to die. The sin has to die. And she sits upon the sin. Okay, let me pull up this scripture that shows the sin. Praise God. I knew the Lord was going to do something tonight, and I didn't have any idea what, but praise God, he's doing it. Okay. Sin and scarlet. Thank you, Lord. That's Isaiah chapter 1. in verse 18. Isaiah, I want to welcome Toothache in the chat room. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. And it says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So when the harlot sitting upon the scarlet colored beast, she is sitting upon sin. Wherever sin is, she is there. That woman is sitting there. If that sin is in our heart, through us believing a lie, the harlot's there as well. Okay, let's go back to Revelation 17 and verse 3. It says, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast." And notice the beast, what is that beast full of? Okay, man is the beast. I'm going to pull up that scripture also. Our flesh is that beast. I'm going to show you that. And if we're full of lies and deception, we are full of the names of blasphemy. And the dragon has seven heads and 10 horns. And you see that with this scarlet-colored beast. And if he's the one that's sitting in us through that deception, that's who is inside of us, dwelling in us, is that scarlet-colored beast with the seven heads and 10 horns. He's dwelling inside of us instead of Jesus Christ. The Lamb also has, there's the seven spirits of God. Stop and think about that. And those spirits of God are described as mountains, and the heads are described as mountains of the beast as well. Okay, let's see, where was I going to go, Lord? I need you to remind me. Let's see, the wilderness. Revelation 17:3. "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns." Remember the dragon, great red dragon that the scriptures talk about, that's the scarlet-colored beast. Okay, thank you, Lord, for reminding me. Okay, we're going to go to Ecclesiastes because I want to show you that men, as long as we're believing the lies of the devil, our flesh is the beast, and God is going to manifest that. And for this, we'll go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I think it's verse 18. Yep, Ecclesiastes 3, and remember, she's sitting upon us. That mother of harlots is sitting upon us if we're believing lies. And we are that beast. We're part of the dragon. Remember, we're either part of the body of Jesus Christ or we're part of the dragon instead. We're part of Satan if we're believing the lies. We're part of that mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. It's one or the other. Okay, Ecclesiastes 3. Put that in the chat room. And verse 18. And it shows that we ourselves are the beast. Okay. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 18 says, "I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men that God might manifest them." Notice it's talking about the sons of men. "That God might manifest them. That they might see that they themselves are beasts." We're the beast. That's us. As long as we're following our flesh, that animal lust is moving through us. And that's how the dragon gets a hold of us, is by getting our flesh. to operate. Praise God. Hey, Cog, it's good to have you in the chat room also. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we're the beast, and she's sitting upon the beast. And that beast is full of names of blasphemy. Well, stop and think about it. If we have the spirit of the devil in us instead of the spirit of God, we're full of the names of blasphemy, because the name of God is what we're supposed to be full of. And the name of his name is called the Word of God. So if we're full of the names of God, we're full of his word instead. Well, if we're full of the lies of the enemy, we're full of the names of blasphemy. If the devil is full of the names of blasphemy and we're part of him through his spirit, that makes us full of that as well, because we become whatever he is. Just like if we're following Jesus Christ, we're recreated in his image and we become whatever he is. Well, on the other side of that, we become, if we're following the enemy, we become whatever he is. If he's the dragon, we're part of it. Wherever he's at, we'll be there too. Just like if we're part of Jesus Christ through the word, wherever the word is of God, we'll be sitting also. If he's sitting in the throne of God, we're sitting in the throne of God. If he's sitting in the right hand of the Father, that puts us in the right hand of the Father. But if we're following the lies of the enemy, wherever he's at, if he's sitting upon many waters, that puts us there. Okay? If he's in the wilderness and sitting upon the scarlet-colored beast, that puts us there as well. Okay? And notice, it says here, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. If that's, okay, not just sitting upon, but if that's our foundation is deception, we're walking on that beast as well. And we're part of that woman that has built our house upon him, the deception, instead of God. And it says, a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. That's what's carrying us. Instead of the Spirit of God carrying us, we'll be carried by that scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. Now, this is very similar to the way that Jerusalem is arrayed in purple and scarlet color. The tabernacle that was built to begin with, the badger skins, I think they dyed them scarlet to show this picture of the physical versus the spiritual of God. And they actually had the scarlet within that picture of the tabernacle. And it says, and the woman was arrayed. And stop and think about it now. The scarlet color can be sin, or it can represent the blood of Jesus Christ. You've got two different ones. Remember, Jesus has his vesture dipped in blood. So there is the blood color that goes along with the temple of God also. Okay? The Lord just reminded me of that. So our sins are as scarlet, but the blood will wash them and make them white as snow. The blood of Jesus will wash them and make them white as snow. Okay, verse 4 again of Revelation 17 says, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones. Well, the temple of Jerusalem has those, the gold and precious stones as well. One is the physical, and one's the spiritual as well. Well, actually, they're both spiritual pictures, and they're both, they can't both be physical pictures. All right, I'm going to skip that. I'm getting mixed up. Okay, anyways, you've got a spiritual picture of that harlot, which has her gold and her precious stones and her pearls, because it says decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup. But look at what her cup is full of. It says golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. So if we're drinking from her cup, we're believing the lies. We're taking of that spirit that fills us with blasphemy instead of God, of truth from the Lord. It says, and upon her forehead. Notice, just like the mark of the beast gets put on the forehead, in the forehead and in the hand. Well, here on her forehead, upon her forehead was a name written. She's got her name. And it says, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. She's not just the mother of harlots, but it also says, and abominations of the earth. So she's the mother of the abominations, too. Everything's an abomination against God. She's the mother of. So if we're committing an abomination against God, who's our mother? Not Jerusalem, which is above, but the mother of harlots is our mother instead. It says, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Well, if we're part of her, what name's going to be on our forehead? See, if we're part of that city, we're going to have whatever she's got. It says, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints, because through that spirit, the spirit of the world hates the spirit of Christ. The spirit of the world is what was behind the killing of the saints of God. The apostles were killed because the people that killed them had the spirit of the world. And that's why they're drunken with the blood of the saints. And that's why she's drunken with the blood of the saints. Look at Paul, for example. He was one that was standing by when Stephen was stoned. He even held the clothing of some of those that were stoning him. And then he got changed from, you know, he was taken, converted from that seat and changed to God, the living waters. It says, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her. Notice, well, we're supposed to be, the angels of God are supposed to hold us up. Let me pull that scripture up. This is actually one that the devil quoted to Jesus in the wilderness. This is Psalms 91. And let's see. Let's start in verse 9. That's Psalms 91, verse 9. It says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Notice the habitation here. Instead of dwelling in the mother of harlots, we've made the Lord our city to dwell in instead. And it says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. That's where we're dwelling. It says, there shall no evil befall thee. See, that keeps us from the evil. If we're in Christ, the evil can't touch him. So we're hiding inside of him, so the evil can't touch us. But until we get washed by his blood, by the word of God, the evil's still touching us. The evil can touch us and all the way until we know the truth, because the truth is what makes us free. All of the truth. We got to get rid of every deception, and until then, we're not free. Okay, it says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee. It's not going to come upon us. Notice the falling part. Befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, because the evil is the plague. The evil angels is the plague, the pestilences that God casts upon us as a result of sin. And so if we're in God, if that's our habitation, the evil is not going to fall upon us. The wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. So as long as we're being obedient, the Spirit of God's coming upon us. It says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Now watch this next verse. This is, shows who's carrying us. Instead of us being carried by the dragon, the woman that's sitting upon the dragon, we're going to be carried by God's angels, his spirit instead. And it says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Because remember, he's our habitation, he's our dwelling. So it's not going to come nigh thy dwelling, because it's not going to come nigh him. And it says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in our ways. If our ways are his ways, they're going to keep us. He will send his spirit to keep us when we're obedient. And it says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. But look at what it says in the next verse. Here's how they carry us. It says, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. So here they're bearing us up. They're carrying us. We're carried by the Spirit of God. That's his angels. Well, if we're not being carried by the Spirit of God, we're part of that mystery Babylon the Great, and the beast is carrying her. The flesh. It's either the flesh is carrying us or our spirit, or the Spirit of God, rather. We're either walking in the Spirit or we're walking in our flesh. If we're walking in our flesh, the beast is carrying us. The dragon is carrying us. Because that's what gives him entrance, is the lust of the flesh. Okay, let's go back to Revelation 17, verse 7 again. It says, and the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Notice, there's an ascension of the beast as well. Jesus grows up. His light arises within us if his word is growing in us. And he comes from above and rises in us. Well, there's another one that can arise in us, but he's coming from the pit instead. Look at this. It says, the beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Remember the son of perdition? If we're attached to the lies of the devil, we're attached to the son of perdition instead of the son of God. And all those that are following the son of perdition, that are believing the lies of the devil, are part of the son of perdition. Satan entered into Judas because he was willing to betray Christ. He became part of the son of perdition when Satan entered into him. And if we are willing to betray Christ and sell him out, like the love of money, which is the root of all evil, if that's what we're attached to, we're also attached to the son of perdition instead of the son of God. And the one that's going to arise in those that are part of the son of perdition is the devil and Satan. Instead of whatever seed is planted within us, it's going to grow in us. We're going to grow up into one or the other in all things. Every time we obey one or the other, that spirit gets stronger in us. If we obey God, the Spirit of God gets stronger in us. If we obey sin, the spirit of the devil gets stronger in us. Oh, Joseph has another scripture in the chat room. I didn't notice that. He's got verse 14 of Psalms 91, and it says, because he hath set his love upon me. Now, what's his love? His spirit. If we set our love upon him, he sets his love upon us. Praise God. It says, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath, look at the words, known my name. Well, according to Revelation chapter 19, his name is called the Word of God. So if you know his name, you know the word. And if you know the word, you'll be made free because you'll know the truth. Praise God. And deliverance will be the result of knowing the truth. We're made free. Praise God. And we end up with him on high instead of in the pit with the devil. Praise God. It says, the beast that thou, this is Revelation 17, verse 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life. See, they're going to wonder, but we're going to know the truth. They're still going to be left wondering because they won't understand. It says, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Notice the word behold. That's who's got a hold of them. When they behold the beast, that's where their knowledge is in him. Praise God. The beast that was and is not and yet is. And that's who we'll be part of. If we're going to follow our flesh, we're going to be part of the beast. All right, now let's go back to Ezekiel. Now that we've got a little bit of that picture, hopefully we'll be able to see this description of Jerusalem and see that is that mother of harlots, because this picture of Jerusalem that it's talking about is the one that's been following the mother of harlots. And it says in Ezekiel 16, verse 2, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Notice she will know her abominations instead of knowing the truth. her knowledge will be in her abominations instead. It says, and say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan, instead of being born again from above. She's born again from the land of Canaan, her nativity. It says, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Now stop and think about the word of God is the washing of water by the word. Let me pull that scripture up, because you've got this picture here that this one was not washed to supple thee. But if we're washed by the word, that the lies and the deception have been washed away from us. Let's see. Where was I going to go, Lord? I already forgot. Oh. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. And it just happens to talk about the wife. You've got that picture of the physical husbands and wives, which is a type and shadow of Christ and the church that is described here. Well, if we're married to another, we're not going to be washed. We've got to be married to Christ in order to be what? In order to be washed. This is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Let me put that in the chat room. And it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Notice the church is put in the place of the wife. Praise God. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. That's the church he's talking about. All of those that are part of him get sanctified and cleansed, but look at what does the cleansing. Look at what does the sanctifying. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Well, the Jerusalem that he's talking about in Ezekiel chapter 16 didn't get washed, didn't get salted, and also was not swaddled at all. Notice the swaddling part of this. Jesus Christ was swaddled with the cloth. It's called swaddling bands. Let me find this. Take me a moment. Wow. If you put in swaddle here, you find out some stuff. I'm going to skim through them real quick, try to get you some of this. There's one in Lamentations chapter 2. And verse 21 looks pretty interesting. I'll bring that out. Lamentations 2 and verse 21 says, the young and the old lie on the ground in the streets. My virgins and my young men are fallen by the sword. That would be the people that fell away from the truth, I think. It says, thou hast slain them in the day of thine anger. Thou hast killed and not pitied. And that's what the devil does. If he can get us to receive the deception and we fall away from the Lord, he slays us with his spirit instead. It says, thou hast called as in a solemn day my terrors round about, so that in the day of the Lord's anger none escaped nor remained. Those that I have swaddled, notice the Lord will swaddle those that are his, just like Jesus had the swaddling clothes. It says, those that I have swaddled and brought up hath mine enemy consumed. That's those that have been growing in the Lord, and then the deception comes and steals them away from the Lord. That's the ones he's talking about. Those that I have swaddled and brought up hath mine enemy consumed. Okay, let me find another one on swaddle here. This is Jesus in Luke chapter 2. And remember, whatever happened with the Lord is supposed to happen with us also, if we're part of him. Just like him being on the cross and was sacrificed, we're also supposed to take up our cross and follow him. Well, if he was had swaddling clothes on, well, you just saw the ones that the Lord swaddled as well. That's ones that are in Christ. All these things happen. The patterns happen over and over again within the scriptures. This is in Luke chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. This is talking about Mary and Joseph. It says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Notice he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's like a type and shadow of the Spirit of God wrapping us up in himself. Wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Praise God. So just as you see the physical of Jesus being wrapped in the swaddling clothes, God gives the spiritual picture of those that are his being swaddled as well in the scriptures. Okay, so let's go back to Ezekiel 16 and verse 4 again, where it talks about this Jerusalem being not being swaddled. It says, and as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. So that would not be washed in the water of the word. Washed by the water of the word. That didn't happen. The enemy got a hold of her instead. This one that God's talking about here. It says, thou wast not salted at all. Well, remember how Jesus talked about that if the salt has lost its savor? Well, those that God salts gives us flavor. His spirit is the type and shadow of this being salted. In fact, let me pull up a scripture on that. That's in Matthew chapter 5. And it even describes us as being the salt of the earth. Because whatever salt has come from the Lord, we're supposed to share with others as well. This is Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. It says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Notice the result of the salt losing its savor, it gets cast out. Just like the devils get cast out of heaven. Just like Jesus spews out of his mouth those that are neither hot nor cold. If the salt, it says, if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing. We can do nothing. Without Christ, we can do nothing. And here it says, it is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. That's where the wrath of God ends up. Tread under the foot. Praise God. And then it says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So it's the salt, being the salt, we're supposed to share that salt with others. If we have the word of God, we're responsible to share it with others. Okay, so let's go back now that you can see the salt part of this picture in Ezekiel 16:4. Let me go back and read it again. It says, and as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to suckle thee, though, that thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, because the Lord's the one that does it. It says to have compassion upon thee, and he's the one that has compassion on us. It says, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. Okay, notice the loathing of thy person. When we see that we are in sin, we will loathe ourselves. When we're born into sin, we loathe ourselves. When it comes to our knowledge, that's why we repent. That's why you've got this picture of the repenting in dust and ashes in the scriptures. Because when that comes to our knowledge, we loathe ourselves. We hate what we're doing. And we don't know what to do about it, but God does. He can bring us out of it. It says, to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted, notice what this picture of Jerusalem is polluted in. Instead of being washed by the blood of the Lamb, they're polluted in their own blood. That's the picture of the flesh. Because remember, we're supposed to eat the flesh of the Son of God, which is his word. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That is the blood. If we're eating his body, we're not only eating his flesh, but we're drinking his blood as well. And that's all within the word of God. Well, if we're doing things our own way, we're polluted in our own blood. We're consuming what we come bring forth out of our own minds, out of our own vain imaginations. And that's the picture of us eating the flesh of our own arm instead of the flesh of the Son of God. That's a picture of us drinking whatever our flesh lusts bring forth instead of drinking from the cup of the Lord. It says, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, because if we're doing things our own way instead of the Lord's way, we've polluted ourselves with our flesh desires. And he sees that. And it says, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood. Notice, in thy blood. Instead of being washed by the blood of the Lamb, we're not in his blood, but we're in our own instead. That's that picture of the flesh. It says, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. That's what God does. He sends his word to us. And that starts that washing process that gives life instead of death. It says, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. Now, this bud picture, looks like we're about out of time. This bud picture within the scriptures, you've got Aaron's rod that budded. You've got a tree in the springtime. You see the leaves have buds on the branches, and then the leaves come forth. And you've got this picture within the scriptures of the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Well, the bud has to open up for the leaves to come out for the healing of the nations. Each one of us is supposed to be as a branch on a tree. And so that picture is just beautiful within the scriptures also. And hopefully we'll get into that next time. I don't think I'm going to be here tomorrow night because I have to go to Omaha, which is quite a ways away. I doubt that I'm going to be back in time tomorrow night. Hopefully Friday night I will be back on here and continue with this. That's at 7 Central Standard Time. That's when I'm hoping to be back on here. In the meantime, I do want to go to Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24 to finish this off, just like always. That's Numbers 6, verse 24, that says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Notice the lifting up of his countenance instead of the one coming out of the pit and coming up in us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And that's peace. We won't have the wrath of God abiding on us. We'll have peace with God. It says, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. That's his name instead of the names of blasphemy, the mother of harlots. It says, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. May God bless and keep each and every one of us in his saving grace. May God bless everyone that hears this, either now or in the archives. May he keep all of us in his saving grace. And I thank you all for coming and spending time with me, especially this late at night. God bless you all. Thank you so much for being here. Have a wonderful night in the Lord, and may you all have sweet dreams. May all of us have sweet dreams in Jesus. Bye-bye.
And everything, there's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone, when my heart had no song, still in love, he proved faithful to me. Every word he's promised is true, and what I thought seemed so impossible, I've seen my God do. I'm
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.